And good evening. We're going to be talking about humility. I'm proud to be humble. If we say that, we certainly need to sit down and have a little talk. But before we started, I was just reflecting on some of the wonderful talents that we have here, and the powerful things that the gifts and things that we have, the giftings that we have from God, are very important. And I heard something a while ago that kind of really touches my heart in explaining humility. Humility is knowing your gifts, but knowing where they came from. That makes a big difference. Humility doesn't mean you hang your head down low, you're not worthy of anything. No, that's not humility. That's false humility. Humility is being powerful and strong and upright and knowing your gifts, but knowing, and I'd like to add, acknowledging where your gifts come from. There's nothing wrong with being gifted. There's nothing wrong with doing things correctly and being successful. But be careful, because we're targets of the adversary to become puffed up. And you have your little handouts there, and we have a few slides here to follow along, but you don't need to worry about that. Those listening in, we're gonna cover a lot of things this evening. We've got, tonight I want to talk, there's four issues with humility and three lessons with humility. We're going to cover a few of those things this evening. So, Ted, if we're ready to go to, yes, we are. Great. The discipline, it's really a spiritual discipline. Humility really comes under the spiritual disciplines, just like self-discipline and just like silence and solitude and a number of things that are considered spiritual disciplines. But discipline is hard work. And it's done in obscurity, meaning not on the stage of life, and for the sake of excellence. That's why we want to do this. We want to have this discipline. We want excellence. But excellence for what? For ourselves and for our accolades, or excellence for the Lord? Our lives, I don't care if you're digging a ditch. I don't care if you're cleaning a bathroom. I don't care if you're a neurosurgeon. Whatever we do, give your hands, your heart, your head, all your life to the Lord. Say, God, whatever I do today, I want to do in excellence. Not but this, but for you. When we get that change here, that's going to keep us a good, able worker, a good learner, someone who's going to improve, someone who is going to get better, and we're going to live for the betterment of ourselves and others to the glory of the Lord, not just keep it limited to down here. And in Matthew 23:12, well, I tell you, this is very powerful. The scriptures give us the foundation of everything. We really need to enrich ourselves in them. But in Matthew 23:12, it says, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Oh, I think a few of us in here can understand that. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. That humbling meaning, yes, Lord, use me as you will. You're the one. Anything that's good in me has come from you. So let's go from here. And pride is the opposite of humility. And there's a couple of things, and I just wanted to, don't worry about the language involved in the Greek. I just wanted to show you some things here. But the boasting, the boastful, or to boast, you know, we're talking about, that's what the Greek meaning of pride is. It's this boasting. And it comes from that word that you can see there, that megalocheo. And it comes from two words, megala, which means great things, and alcheo, which means, look at that, lift up the neck. I love, English is a very difficult language. It comes from a number of roots. But the Greek is a very specific language, and Hebrew is a very specific language. They didn't have all the combos that we have, and a word meant a word. It was really, really pretty good. But megala, great things, and then lift up the neck. You can even see it. You can just, you know, it's like, hey, look at what I just did, you know, lift up the neck. We don't want that. It's, the pride is really the opposite of humility. And we don't want to have pride. We want to have humility. So you look at, in terms of pride, it also means haughty. You know, that word haughty, we use that in English. We understand that in our language, haughty, you know. But when you look at what it means, it comes from huperiphanos. And it comes from huper, which means over in Greek. And phanomai, to appear. To appear over. Hey, wow.
You think you know something.
You know, so there's this, look what I just did, and then there's, you know, who are you in comparison to me? People say, I don't have that in you. Prideful people very often say, I'm not proud. Oh, okay. That kind of like is pride. You know, we have to be so careful. I don't want us to get hung up on this. I'm not bringing this up to get hung up. I'm just saying, this is sneaky. All the things of the broken Adam nature, all the things of the world, and all of the things of the adversary are sneaky. There's deception. There's this element of lies in there. There's a falsehood in there. Everything that's of the flesh, the dissensions and the deceits, all of this stuff is not of God. And that's the point. Anything that's weaker, lesser, of the world, the flesh, or the devil, we don't want it in us. We don't want to practice it. We're born with it in us. But in Jesus Christ, when he comes in and you truly are repentant, ask, oh, forgive me, Lord, and he enters into your heart, then you've got a whole new master, a whole new life, a new and living way. It's so different, but it's difficult. We're going to stumble bumble a lot. This whole journey is a lot of stumble bumble. That's why God says, what are you pointing fingers at each other for? What you may have succeeded in spiritually, they will eventually. So quit looking like this. Again, that's the pride. That's the high. And people are like, I see it in front of us. We all do. We see it in Christian circles.
Well, I'm more Christian than you are.
Wow, gee. Well, I'm just more cheerful than you are. I'm more generous than you are. I'm more loving. What in the world? This isn't a competition amongst each other. This is your broken Adam nature. You're going to have to get restored with him, and you're going to have to work it out with him. As I've said many times, my work as a chaplain in the Army, golly, those guys, I mean, their language is like, it's not church language, shall we say. And I'd be standing in a group with them. It got a little rough. Then someone would notice that I happened to be in the group. Oh, Chaplain, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. And I go, it's not me that you offend. It's him. You got to work that out with him. I said, I'm just the sales rep. You know, they laugh when I tell them that. But it's not your job to straighten anyone out. It's God's job to get in their heart. Now, what we can do is we can help provide the most amenable, the most agreeable atmosphere and environment that we can around them that's going to have them come to an understanding of the Lord. So just be really careful when we do this. And I wanted to talk about some examples and things of pride. Pride says you can do things better than others. And that might be true. We're not... It's just like there's a huge discourse going on in our country about equality and stuff like that. Just we have equal rights to life, liberty, and originally it said property, but it was changed to the pursuit of happiness. We all have those rights, but we are not equally, we're not equal in terms of our gifts. We are not equally gifted. So you can't say that everyone should get the same amount of anything because we're not equally gifted. But you have the right in this country you are equal in that case in terms of pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So God is talking to us. Pride says, I can do things better than you. And yes, you can. That's the point. Some people can do things really well. I mean, neurosurgeons do things a lot higher level and a lot better than some guy who might be putting together bricks. But that guy who puts together bricks might be the best bricklayer in town, and everyone's calling him. So you can't say one's above the other, but one has a much more important job, so to speak. If the guy makes a mistake in the bricks, you can kind of fix a cracked brick. But if the neurosurgeon makes a mistake in your brain, that's not going to work out very well. So you see, pride can really creep in, whether you're a bricklayer or whether you're a brain surgeon. So we have to be very, very careful. Pride was a downfall of Satan versus God. He actually thought he was equal to God. He forgot one important point. Does anyone remember what that important point is? Why Satan wasn't equal to God?
God created him.
God created him. He's one up. No matter what way you look at it, he was higher and better than Satan. Now, Satan must have been very powerful, you see. There's hierarchy in the things that God made. There is. We're below the angels, but we're above the animals. Tell that to the PETA people, but hey, whatever. But, you know, I'm just saying, we have to understand that this thing about pride is huge. It was the downfall of Satan. And he tries to make that an issue with us. It'll be your downfall if you don't fight it. And some of the examples of that pride, some of us have had some things happen to us in our lives. And not because we're prideful. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. It's not because we're prideful. Sometimes it is. God will have to have us go through things to make sure that if pride's in us, it's going to get knocked out. But some things happen to us to keep us humble. But some things happen because you have to get pride out of you. And I remember one time I was working with a nursing care service, and I put in for a job at St. Joseph's for their in-service work, and I just knew I had that job. I knew the individual was, I knew her from the military, the one who was hiring, and it's someone I had known previously. I thought, oh, I got this job locked up. This is finally going to be what I work for all the time. 9 to 5 and all weekends off. No more of those stupid nursing shifts. No more of that. I'm finally coming. I'm going to get this. I didn't get that job. I was so angry with God. I remember I was driving a little blue Datsun. My little blue Datsun 210 or whatever it was. And I'm coming down Kennedy Avenue. And I'm coming out of work. And I'm banging on the steering wheel. God, I can't believe that you didn't give me... All of a sudden, someone runs a stop light, a stop sign. Plows right into me. This humongous big Cadillac-type car. Not a scratch on it. My car totally pushed in. It couldn't even open the door on the driver's side. You know, just enough to squeeze out. In that moment, I went, oh, am I saying God caused the accident? I'm just saying, I was screaming. I can't believe you didn't give me this job. What's the problem up there? Bam. God, forgive me. What have I done? Who am I that deserve? I deserve nothing. How I lived before I knew you, Lord. I deserve nothing. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't get that. But God had a reason. I got another job, and it was up at the college. He wanted me teaching at the college up there. And then some students that came to know the Lord. I mean, this whole thing is all wrapped up. There are other times I lived in a tent in his backyard. When I first moved down here, didn't have a job, didn't have, you know, I'm laying in a tent out in his backyard going, what's going on? I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. I'm living in a tent. I'm homeless. What? Because I'm so full of myself, God had to kind of take me on a little route that I wouldn't be as full of myself, you see. So some of these things can happen to you. You can be very prideful and not even know it. I ended up in between as time went on. Some of the jobs closed up. All of Hillsborough, after I finished teaching at the college, all of Hillsborough County was frozen, all their teaching jobs. Because I went from this one, because I felt the Lord was telling me not to be there, and to go on. There wasn't anything open. I ended up working for Pastor Mark in his lawn service company for 6 years. So I'm out there mowing lawns and doing all this. God, what's happening? I have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. Well, I'm a professional woman. Why am I out here with these guys mowing lawns? I was standing in a 7-Eleven getting some sodas on a break. And I knew I smelled bad because by 8 o'clock in the morning, you're soaking wet with sweat and you stink and you got dirt and everything. I smelled sour, sweaty, junky, like I had lived in those clothes for a week. That's what happens every day when you're out there working like that. And I was standing there. A guy comes up here beside me to stand in line. I'll never forget this my whole life. He came up here and he backed up. Oh God, he smells me too. I cried out to the Lord, I hate this. What are you doing? I came to understand. He just told me, so I'm humbling you. Oh, I'm so wicked, God. Please humble me fast. I can't stand this. So God has to do that. Now, does anyone have any examples of that? We have just a moment. Does anyone have examples of being humbled by God? Anyone that's been humbled here? Am I the only one that's been so full of myself that I have to be humbled? And anyone have any examples that can think of offhand? Yes.
I remember when I was young and Lord, I'll keep it short. Lisa and I wanted to plan a trip out to California to take a military hop. And I came up with a plan. I figured it out and everything. And Lisa's going to be on vacation from a semester from college. And she was going to go with me. Last minute, she goes, Drew, I can't go. I have to study. I was so mad. I'm going anyhow. So I decide I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go see my friend out in California. I'm going to go witness to him and everything. And so I get on the plane, and there's a guy. I took a hop from Campbell to Scott, and this guy reading a horror book, and I started witnessing to him, and he got up and got away from me. I flew to California. I saw my friend there. I tried to witness to him. And it was all I.
It's awful, yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, no, God's in the trees and the cats.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just all over it. And you know, because I had the plan.
Yeah.
I went back to work. And long story short, I went to the terminal. And I met this flight, get on a flight, and sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me as witnesses to this woman. Her name was Eve. And I said, I got a plan. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm first going to make friends with her. Then I'm going to get on a flight with her, sit with her. We got, you know, 3 hours on a flight. And so I made friends with her. Good, check. And we went back, and they called our names and told us there was only one room on the flight. And the rest of us had to stay. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. You're going to leave in 5 minutes. And I turned to her and I said, has anybody ever told you about the gospel? And I had a track from Billy Graham. And she saw tears coming down her eyes. I started praying with her. And she accepted the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Lord
said, now give her a Bible.
Uh-huh.
And she got, and then they called her name. She left.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I started crying. And,
yeah.
And I said, this is unbelievable. And then all of a sudden I realized, I got to get home. And I started planning again.
Yeah.
I said, no, Lord, I give it to you. And,
yeah,
and
amen.
And long story short, I got home.
Amen.
Yeah, but it was all pride because I thought,
yeah,
I could do this. I got my Bible.
We do. Yeah, yeah.
And the God, mm-hmm, he didn't give me 3 hours. Mm-hmm. He only gave me 5 minutes.
In, see, even in doing the things of the Lord, I can do this. It doesn't mean you can't plan. God's a God of organization. It doesn't mean you don't plan. But it means you plan by His Spirit. You plan, you use the gifts He's given you, you put them out there, and you let Him lead you. It's so powerful. That's good.
Yeah,
humility, humility, humility.
It was like my plan.
Yeah,
wasn't,
yeah.
God's.
Our plans don't work. Anyone notice that? Okay, good. It's okay to plan, but with the Lord, you better be really, really flexible.
Yeah.
Now, four issues to understand humility, and we can go over these fairly quickly. We'll be finished in a few minutes, so we had a little bit longer prayer and worship time here, but that's okay. Anyone mind? We have a little time in front of the Lord. Okay, good. Anyone have an appointment, please? It's okay. You can go ahead and go, but we'll just see what the Lord has here. Now, in terms of humility, when we talked about humility, most Western cultures don't understand or admire humility. A great deal of the Western culture is bravado, especially in our country. Great deal of bravado. I mean, there's a great deal that we have. Because of the freedom, we've been able to do a lot more things than maybe other people who've been extremely severely oppressed for, like, you know, thousands of years. So, I mean, it was kind of a new idea that we had, and it allowed a lot of freedom and stuff like that. You've got to be careful. Our freedoms are turning to free-for-alls right now. I'm not going to address that tonight. But the Western culture doesn't understand this humility thing and doesn't admire it. In other cultures, humility and not having that aggressive bravado, that's frowned upon. You know, it's really quiet. As a matter of fact, you know, when this recent jet airliner, the South Korean jet airliner that crashed, they were talking about different stories. There was another airliner that crashed because in the Asian, in the Korean culture, as was being explained, was that this submission to authority is extremely important. It is in many, many cultures. You know, our culture tends to develop that. Tell me what to do. You know, we gotta be careful with that. So it's not the best thing, you know. It helps for innovation, but you gotta keep it, you know, corralled in. But this co-pilot saw that something was wrong, but it was the pilot who was flying. So in deference to the pilot, he remained quiet and humble, never said anything, and they ended up crashing. So it's like, I mean, wow. I mean, the humility and submission is revered so much to the point that anyone in authority over you would do that. So I'm not saying to be to one extreme or the other. I'm just saying that it just, you have to understand humility not from your culture. You have to understand humility not from a Greek English dictionary. You have to understand humility by what God is talking about. Now, humility, and you've said, it's hard to kind of tie down what humility is. We always like it in someone else. We always notice it, and we appreciate it in others. But you don't want it for yourself. We want to be, you know, on top. We want to be the best, you know. We want to be this and whatever. Like I said, it's okay to go for being the best. But know to whom you give the accolades. It's not yourself. And a couple others in terms of issues to understand in humility. As I said before, humility is not a low self-esteem. I'm no good. I'm a worm. I'm lower. You know, what's the old song that they sing about? I'm going to eat some worms. Well, what's that old one? You know, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. You know. I'm going to go eat worms or something like that. You know, just no. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we got some. Oh, good. We got some of the old dogs. You remember some of that stuff in there. Humility is not that. It's not an unworthiness. Of all people on the planet, those that belong to Jesus Christ, I tell you, we are so blessed. He loves us. We are important to God. That really needs to help our mindset. We might not be important to anyone else. We might have been abandoned and rejected by everyone. And if you're a jerk, that's why you're abandoned. Then change. Come to the Lord. He will show you who you are in Him. So humility isn't these worm-like qualities or being a nobody. It's not an inferiority complex at all. And there's an old saying, you can measure discipline, but you can't measure virtue. You know, you can measure discipline. I can do 25 push-ups. I can run 5 miles. I can, you know, fast 12 days in a row. You can measure discipline, but you can't measure virtue. But can you see virtue? Ah, yes. Is virtue manifest? Yes. Well, we want the virtue of humility. We don't want the action of humility. We're trying to cover up something and make up for something. So it's really, really important that we understand where we are in God. Jesus is like the perfect example of humility. I mean, they are beating and slobbering all over him, slapping and can't say, "Who do you think you are, the Son of God?" Well, all of us in our humility would go, "Yeah, I sure am. Watch this." Bam! The earth would have probably opened up and everyone who was coming against him, he didn't. He humbled himself before the mighty God. He took the taunting. He took it. He knew who he was in God. He still was perfect. He still was God. He still was one with the Father. That didn't change anything. All of their mocking and their scoffing, their deriding and their disbelief did not change his value before God. And it doesn't change ours. It's very, very powerful. It's okay to have value. It's okay to know that. It's okay to have that. Just don't let that self-inflate your own head. We're the children of the King, and we're not inferior to anyone, but be very careful. If you're very good at things, the adversary is going to dog you till you die with the pride issue, but he's going to cover it over, and he's going to mask it, and there's going to be deception. So just always say, "God, I just want to humble myself before you. You are my God. I can't do this, Lord. If I even want to share your word, just have it be your spirit that come through me. If I'm going to do my job, let it be you, Lord. And if it turns out really well, I'm going to give you all the glory." Now, there's three lessons in humility. And guess where humility starts? It starts at the bottom. Sometimes we have to... Now, some people are taught humility. They're taught that wonderful virtue and it comes up under the Lord. And they're tremendously wonderful, humble people. They understand that. Some of us have to learn it. Whichever way, just get there is what God wants us to do. But you have to, if you have this humility, it needs to grow out of a gratitude. You really do. When you really are thankful to the Lord for what he's done, you're not going to take the credit for it. If you're really grateful for your health, you know, now it's good that you should eat right and exercise and do different things. It's really good that you do that. But don't go... And I know that God has helped me in this sometimes because, you know, I've been blessed to be fairly healthy. Even as an old lady, I'm pretty healthy, you know, and I've run half marathons and marathons and I hike and I do all these things. And I think for a while I was getting full of myself. Well, a few times I've been able to run because I got really sick. And then now I've been suffering with the plantar fasciitis and sometimes I get up in the morning and something, I can't even walk. You know, and oh, good grief. And then you put on weight, you can't do what you want. You know, so I thought, I'm going through the humbling machine again. If God's going to do something really great with the book, I'm going to have to really make sure that God's out front here. Because people are ready to say, "Oh, this is the best thing. Oh, this changed my life." And, you know, you start hearing that. Some cadets came in. We hadn't seen them in a little while. And Marks comes over to me and he says something about, "You are just such an awesome woman. I have never met anyone. I admire you so much. You've changed my life." You know, you can sit there and just bask in that and go, whoa, slather me with butter, Lord. Or you can really say, you know, anything good has come because I wasn't me that day. I always say your best day with me is when I'm not me. Because me comes with opinion and my experiences and stuff that was broken and wrong ideas and stuff. When that is crucified and out of the way, you're going to get the best shot at God. And that's what we need to do for each time that we do these things. So humility grows out of this gratitude, and that helps you to remove that selfishness as a motive. And it's very selfish, some of the things that we do. And so you will end up less conceited, less full of yourself. And you're going to be able to think of others a lot more and tend to more of their needs. And then the last one there is humility is an act of faith. It really is. If you really, really know that he loves you and you really, really know that he cares for you, then you don't need to worry about whether you get it right or didn't, or if you're going to be really good, or how much you need to do. You say, God, I depend on you. You lead me in the way in which to go. Now, don't anyone listening thinking God's going to do your homework for you. He's not going to get out there, and he's not going to eat right for you, and he's not going to study for you, and he's not going to build your business, and he's not going to fill out your tax forms, and he's not going to do your dishes and your laundry. But somehow he's going to work that out. But you'll either have the strength for it, or he'll send someone along to help you, which is very efficient and helpful. I mean, God knows how to work things out. We need help. And prideful people never ask for help. They never are open for someone else's different way of seeing it. Some people are total slobs, and they're just never going to change. They, you know, going to need a help. How are you going to handle it? Especially when you're married. If you're married to a slob and you're a really, you know, neat freak, you can really end up in a lot of problems. We need to humble ourselves. Everyone doesn't need to be like us. We need to work it out with each other. The only way to do that is to humble ourselves. Because the ones that are neat freaks think, well, I'm better than you. And the ones that aren't think, well, I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm doing more like being led by God. Of course, it would drive me nuts, you know. You have to be led by God to pick up your socks. No. No. I'm not talking about that. God is so good. This humility thing needs to be a natural outpouring of the Spirit of God coming out from us. So this is really, really thing. So pride, no. Humility, yes. See, pride is not of God. So you got to fight it. You got to crucify it. You got to kill it. But you have to identify it. That's what being led by God's Spirit is going to be. But humility is of God. Embrace it. Don't run from it. And don't make up what we think is humility. We really need to keep this in the front of us here. And then just a few things in terms of humble yourself. You hear that in Scripture. Humble yourself before the mighty God. No one else can humble you. Always remember that. Now, God can use someone to humble you down, but someone else can't make this happen. Only you can do that. And we have some wonderful scriptures here. Proverbs 21:4. And you don't need to... I'm going to kind of go through these fairly quickly so we can finish up here. 1 John 2:16. I'm sorry, Proverbs 21:4. Lost my place here a little bit. When God says to humble yourself, look what he says. Haughty eyes, and we already talked about that. Haughty eyes and a proud heart. They're the lamp of the wicked. The lamp of the wicked is sin, and that's what they are. We don't want that. And in Proverbs 11:2, whoa, that's another big one here. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. That is going to happen. And what's another saying that's in the scriptures? That aren't just little quotable quotes to learn in a trivia game. Pride comes before the fall. God knows. Now, God doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't beat the pride out of us. But he often lets these things happen so that we can see who we really are and what we're made of. That we're more full of ourselves than we are of God. Now, that needs to change. Now, it's a long journey, so don't be discouraged if this keeps poking back up. God knows how to deal with it. Just be open to him and let him get that out of the way. And in 1 John 2:16, God makes it clear. This covers like so many things. For all that is in the world, and he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the what? The boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. It is from that which is not of God. And anything that isn't of God, you need to fight it with all your might. And pride is the loser. Pride will have you do all of these things that are on that list. Persecute the poor. You know, I got more of that. My mother had such wisdom. She grew up with scriptures embedded in her heart, and I didn't realize it because, you know, we weren't on the same plane sometimes. But some of the things that she said, never, God said, don't look to the left or the right. And she said, don't look to the one who has more than you, because you're going to be really jealous and you're going to be wanting that and you're going to be envious and covetous. And whatever you do, don't look to the left to someone who doesn't have as much as you do. Then you're going to be full of pride and you're going to be lording it over them. That's so wrong. That's the problem in our country today. Capitalism and the rich people are not the problem in our country. The problem is the morality. It's the bribery, the lies, and the corruption. If the rich people were like the rich people just a couple of decades ago, they would be building the orphanages, they'd be helping to feed the poor, they would be developing some of the museums, they'd be giving to the community, they'd be paying their workers a little bit better. I mean, when Ford developed the first assembly line, he paid his workers $2 an hour, which was like $40 an hour now. He said, I want to pay them well because I only want the best workers. If they don't meet my measure, they don't work on my line. Well, they were everyone else is making 50 cents an hour and his guys are making $2 an hour. Guess what? Did that stir them to work badly? Did that stir them to show up sick? Did that stir them to sit around and have coffee breaks all day? They knew that if they didn't do his measure of work, they wouldn't get that. But you can't expect that, you know, if everyone's making 50 cents an hour and you expect them to do superior work, pay them more then. See, that's what, it's the morality stupid, not the economy. It's so true. This pride thing is it's a loser. It's all over the place. I mean, you have pride. I'm so important. These people that get so much money, these high school dropouts have become Hollywood stars for crying out loud. They don't have two brains to rub together, some of them. I mean, God help them and bless them. They're skilled in their field. They're skilled in their art. But they're full of themselves. They got all these houses and all these cars and all this stuff. And what do? Does money give them happiness? No. Now, some of them are good. They start organizations, they help the poor, but a whole bunch of them consumed on themselves. They're full of drugs and alcohol and divorce and misery. Well, if money made you happy, then why aren't that whole group happy? See, God knows it's so twisted. It's so twisted. So pride, it truly is a loser, but it's going to encourage you to violence. Good grief. I'm better than you. Boom. Good grief. It brings shame and destruction, and pride comes before the fall, like we said. Boy, I tell you, and it stirs up strife. I mean, you can see that with children growing up. I'm better than you. No, you're not. You're saying, Mom! I mean, you know, it just, oh, she laughs. This conversation must have happened anyhow. But anyways, God doesn't want us to do that. Pride is very arrogant. It is conceited. It is haughty, and it is boasting. But humility is the sure winner. And we're going to finish up here. Humility is the sure winner. And in Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Now, those riches don't always mean gold in your pocket. Those riches are deeper. There's a richness in our relationships, one with the other. There's a richness in your relationship with the Lord. But very often, the riches are having enough. And if you are full of pride, God isn't going to fill you with riches till you get some of that stuff out of the way. And when he does, if he fills your bucket more than others, you need to turn around and say, God, who am I to share this with? And God will show. And he'll not demean anybody along the way. What a God we serve. So we don't want to get this pride out of the way. So if somebody says, I'm proud to be humble, we need to have a talk. And what we need to do is we need to talk about the Lord, and we need to talk about how he wants us to work for him in his vineyard. God bless you.